the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Dave Prez, Darth Vader from Star Wars, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Patty, a.k.a. Frankenhooker. Welcome to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Richard Mall, and you're listening to
the Big Scary Show.
This week, we talk to the organizer of HauntCon, Mr. Leonard Pickle, about his upcoming convention. Also, the voice from hell, Dick Terhune, travels across the border to the Canadian Haunters Convention to discuss things going on in the life of the Dark Lord. We have Storm bringing you a Haunt Minute. The unknown scare actor puts out a call for vendors. The Haunt Rocker spins some very dark and spooky tunes. Badger reads the news. And the Round Table of Terror discusses a very important topic. We also have a big announcement concerning a major company in the haunt industry. All that and more on this episode of The Big Scary Show.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here live at the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference here in beautiful Hamilton, Ontario. And you never know who you're going to run into when you're at a Haunters Convention. I thought I was the only one here from the Great White South, a.k.a. the States. But I ran into another gentleman, no stranger to the haunt industry. Friends and fans and lots of people are here to see a seminar and listen to him talk about some very interesting things. The man who needs no introduction. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you very much. You're not even going to give me an intro, though, are you?
Well, I said you didn't need one because you're so well known.
Well, how are they going to know who I am?
They should already know at this point.
Because of the voice from hell?
Why, yes, it's Dick Terhune, the voice from hell. How are you doing today?
Doing great. This is the second time that I've been to the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference, and I love this show. This is just a cool show. Any folks from my side of the border, the U.S. side, who have not experienced this show, really, you know, you should check it out next year.
It only costs $325 to cross the Rainbow Bridge.
Exactly, and it doesn't even have to be American money.
No, they take that Canadian purple money with, like, chickens on it and stuff.
Which is a lot prettier. It really is.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss monetary policies at a later time. I want to know what's going on in the world of Dick Terhune. I know this. We're kind of early in the convention season. What's going to happen at HauntCon and Midwest and all these other places that you are slated to appear?
In the very same weekend, I will be speaking at both National Haunters Convention on the Philadelphia side of the state.
Yes.
And then booking it across to Pittsburgh for HauntCon, and I'm presenting two different sessions. So... you know, one at National, one at HauntCon. So it's going to be different things.
You're not going to have people thronging, or you might have people following you around just to catch what the other seminar is all about.
And if they do, they would be very wise and dangerous haunters to do so. Because once again, we are exploring the deep, dark, mysterious world of effective haunt advertising. At National Haunters Convention, I'm presenting a session called The Q-Line Starts Here, Haunt Advertising That Brings Customers Screaming to Your Door. And then at HauntCon, the session I'm presenting is called Screaming Success, Haunt Secrets, Haunt Advertising Secrets of the Dark Masters.
I'm sensing a haunt advertising type theme. For the three or four people in the country who do not know what the Voice of Hell does, what do you do?
At voicefromhell.com, I create highly effective traffic building, results getting commercials for haunted attractions, big, medium, and small. That's what I do. Now, it comes from a lifelong love of haunting combined with a successful career as a commercial and voiceover writer, producer, though sometimes not able to speak.
Sometimes.
And performer as well.
It's that thin Canadian air.
Oh, that's it, eh? See, I said I wasn't going to say A.
But you did, eh? You know, it just kind of circles in once you, osmosis type of the culture here.
Okay, all right.
I have no idea what that just meant, but it just sounded vaguely Canadian to me.
But, that all kind of came together for me, and I created voicefromhell.com, and, you know, started meeting the greatest haunters on the planet, and it turns out that what I do is effective for haunters as far as advertising.
And when you go to a session on advertising, what can somebody expect to see and or hear?
Well, you know, some people have come close to breaking down in tears when they find out that the great advertising that the radio stations have been doing for them is really not so great.
Do you mean the wacky morning DJs don't really have an idea on how the haunt industry is supposed to be run and working and the inner workings that would bring customers screaming to their door?
People are shocked to find out that, in fact, that's the case.
I'm shocked right now. Please tell me more.
You know, really what it boils down to is that, you know, I'm someone who knows the haunt industry and I'm someone who knows the advertising industry and I can put it together. So really what we do is we turn your advertising over and we say, is this really working? What could be better? And I always look at examples from all across the country, haunts all over the world. I mean, it could be the commercials that Netherworld is running, or it could be a public service announcement that I made for the Hudson, Texas Volunteer Fire Department haunted house, or anywhere in between. The principles of advertising and marketing a haunt, though, they remain the same throughout the line. And that's what I try to impart to people, give people, so they go in armed with a little more insight, with a little more knowledge about this often dark and mysterious world of advertising and marketing.
And you had a session today. How was that?
Had a good session here, met some more Canadian haunters, home haunters and professional haunters alike. And, you know, I love that I'm doing more attractions up here in Canada, that I'm doing advertising for them. I really think that Canada is on the cusp as far as professional haunting. You know, as they themselves have pointed out to me, the area is more spread out here, not as many professional haunts as in the States, but I think we're not far off from reaching a tipping point where some home haunters are going to say, hey, I think it's time to go pro, or, you know, other folks are going to say, yeah, we need to do this, and the industry is just going to burgeon up here in the north.
So for the people who may or may not have the opportunity to get out to a convention and see you, but yet they're intrigued by what we have just heard, how would somebody be able to get a hold of you, listen to samples, maybe see some places where you might be traveling, whether you're going out to West Coast or Midwest or things like that? How can people get a hold of you?
It is ridiculously easy. Just go to voicefromhell.com.
And most filters on computer internet servers won't filter out hell, correct?
As far as I know.
So voicefromheck.com just doesn't quite cut it.
It's not going to get you anywhere, no.
It probably will get you somewhere.
But not to hell.
So voicefromhell.com, Mr. Dick Terhune, an honest, pleasure again to meet you back up here in the Great White North. Shame I had to miss your session. I'm sitting here interviewing everybody else under the sun here. And we will definitely see you at HauntCon. We will see you at National. We will see you at Midwest and any other place you may decide to show up.
And hopefully you'll hear me here more on the Big Scary Show.
And with that, this is Drew Badger once again live in Hamilton, Ontario. Okay? And I am out.
Midnight Syndicate. Welcome to the carnival. On the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, and I want to talk to you about Thorn Web Designs. Jimmy Talkington at Thorn Web Designs does my music site, jerryvane.com, and is the official website designer for BigScaryShow.com. Jimmy works for Haunt and has been in this business a long time, and he knows just what to do to make your site work for you. As a client of his for 2 years, I can tell you right now, Jimmy takes pride in what he does to make sure the website is what you want, when you want, and on time. And best of all, great prices and great customer service. So if you need a custom website for your haunted attraction, metal band, or anything else, I want you to visit thornwebdesigns.com and see what Jimmy Tonkington can do for you. Thorn Web Designs, the official web designer of the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, Rabid Badger Haunt Consulting, and the Big Scary Show.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right, up here in New England, we just had the Boston Marathon. And then, you know, seeing coverage and everything from that got me thinking about these 5K zombie runs. I mean, just the idea of 20,000 people running away from a bunch of zombies is fun in my own twisted, dark, haunted mind, as with everybody else listening. But, you know, the thing is, it really comes down to organization and, you know, where do you draw the line with these things? You take an example like the 5K zombie runs that are popping up. Most of them look really great, a whole lot of fun, well-organized, done on an obstacle course, and people know what they're getting into. And you gotta watch out, because anybody who's worked at a haunted attraction knows, when people start running, bad things happen. Because it doesn't become fun anymore. That's where some of these things get lost. It's gotta be fun! If you lose the fun, the whole concept's out of the way. You have a lot of actors and well-meaning haunting people who will say, well, I want it to be scary. It's so much more scary when it's unsuspecting. I've had actors suggest, hey, how about we all go dress up like zombies and go to the mall on Black Friday? No! They're not there to be scared. They're there to shop. You will cause panic and land your ass in jail. And that's the thing. Scary is fun. It's got to be fun to keep doing it. When people aren't having fun, when you're just scaring them for the hell of it, and they're not there and paying you money to get scared, all the fun is lost. Nobody knows what the hell is going on. So remember, when you're keeping every minute scary, make it fun. So, keep every minute scary.
Get your Stormy Rant fix in 140 characters on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Greetings, mortals, and anyone else listening. Drew Badger here with your deadline news. Start off with a little bit of sad news, as a fire has caused major damage to the Haunted Monster Museum in Natural Bridge, Virginia. Rockbridge County fire investigators say the fire was first called in around 5:45 a week ago Monday, and when crews arrived, they found the museum in heavy flames and smoke. Once firefighters were able to get close, they were able to get the flames under control quickly. However, the fire did spread to the nearby woods, and the Virginia Department of Forestry says up to 5 acres have been scorched. The fire marshal's office is still investigating, and an estimated dollar amount for damages was not available, but fire crews do describe the damage as heavy. The Haunted Monster Museum was run by local artist Mark Klein, who lost another museum, the Enchanted Castle, to fire in April of 2001. And despite the Haunted Monster Museum being burned, the Virginia Haunt Fest is still on. The Virginia Haunt Fest is scheduled for May 11th through the 13th in Natural Bridge, Virginia, and a tour of the Haunted Monster Museum was to be a part of it, but obviously not now. But anyway, come join fellow haunters in beautiful Natural Bridge, Virginia, right off Interstate 81 in the beautiful mountains, as they revive the Virginia Haunt Fest. There will be 3 days of fun, frivolity, and frights as fans of horror and Halloween from all over get together to have a haunted good time. The Virginia Haunt Fest is for the enthusiast on any level. The registration fee covers all the Virginia Haunt Fest events except the Lexington Ghost Tour, which is offered at a discount rate. Events include coffin races, monster-making workshops, Haunt Wars, and the aforementioned Lexington Ghost Tour. There'll also be vendors and there'll be seminars, some make and takes. Sounds like a really fun time, even though the museum's not available. If you're in the Mid-Atlantic area, check out www.centralvahaunters.com for all the information on the Virginia Haunt Fest May 11th through the 13th. That's www.centralvahaunters.com. We have information on the National Haunters Convention. The National Haunters Convention will be May 4th through the 6th at the Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks, 100 Station Avenue in Oaks, Pennsylvania. The event will feature education seminars, vendors, how-to workshops, and a costume ball located at Arnold's Fun Center just across the parking lot from the convention center. This year's costume ball theme is Cinco de Mayo with a twist of Mexican, the Day of the Dead. Some of the vendors at Nationals this year will be Creepy Collections, Dead Bats Designs, 13th Hour Magazine, the Home Haunters Association, Professor Nightmare Productions, Spectre Studios, Symphonic Sacrifices, The Things That Go Bump in the Night, Zombie Girls Attic, and much, much more. For information, tickets, directions, and everything else you need for the National Haunters Convention in Oaks, Pennsylvania, visit nationalhauntersconvention.com. Also that same weekend, also in Pennsylvania, is this year's HauntCon, located in Pittsburgh. Tour over 25 haunts in 5 days from May 2nd through the 7th at HauntCon 2012 near Pittsburgh, PA. If you've ever dreamed of touring multiple haunted houses in October, but find it impossible to get away from your own Halloween activities, then HauntCon 2012 is the answer. There's a 2-day bus trip before the show, May 2nd and 3rd, touring 20 haunted attractions in 2 states. There's a Thursday night kickoff tour of the impressive multi-story Fright Farm on May 3rd. There's the Friday night haunt tour of 3 haunts at 100 Acres Manor on May 4th. And the Sunday night haunt tour of 2 haunts at Haunted Estates or at Haunted Hills Estates on May 6th. If you're counting, that's 26 haunts toured in 5 days. Go to TicketLeap.com for pricing of each tour. But Haunt Tours is not all HauntCon has to offer. Join haunters from around the world at the Monroeville Convention Center for the trade show floor, filled with the latest in fright services and equipment, often at wholesale prices. The Hearse and Parade Car Show, tricked out last rides on display. The Haunters Garage Sale. Buy, sell, and trade anything and everything haunted at this flea market / swap meet. HauntCon's educational program. Over 50 hours of education included in the admission price. Tracks include creative classes, prop creation, scenic treatment, haunt design, character development, actor training, and more. Business seminars, business plans, marketing, budgeting, how to get started, and more. Demonstrations, makeup, controller programming, animations, products, and more. Hands-on workshops. Learn hands-on prop building techniques and take home what you build. And advanced all-day classes on Monday, May 7th. The Advanced Horror Face Painting by Nick and Brian Wolf of Evil Twin FX. And Computer-Aided Haunt Design by Leonard Pickle. Prices for these classes include lunch. Again, go to TicketLeap for tickets. The DoubleTree Hotel in Monroe, Pennsylvania is the host hotel and location for the Dawn of the Dead Costume Ball, a rocking party celebrating the joy of getting into character for fun rather than for work. Get your tickets through, where else, TicketLeap. A schedule of events and exhibitor registration information is available at www.hauntcon.com or go to TicketLeap.com and pick up your tickets now. If you own a haunt, run a haunt, act in a haunt, or want to do any of these things, then don't miss HauntCon 2012, May 2nd through the 7th. We have news on the Midwest Haunters Convention. For those who thought the Midwest Haunters Convention couldn't get any better, on Saturday, June 9th from 5:30 to 6 p.m., there will be a moderated acting panel with some of the nation's top haunt actors. Confirmed already are Regina and Brooke Engelhart from Svenpuss Acting Troupe, Amanda Revenge from Nightmare New England, Damien Reaper from The Dent Schoolhouse, Scott Tater Lind, a traveling actor and the man behind the infamous Granny, and it's moderated by Jeff Simmons, a scare actor's haunted house training actor. You cannot afford to miss this event, and at the end there'll be a Q&A session with their experts for those questions you're dying to ask. This will all take place in one of the seminar classrooms, so stay tuned for further updates on location and a possible addition to the panel. Visit MidwestHauntersConvention.com for more information. And now comes the big announcement you've all been waiting for. The Big Scary Show has been contacted by none other than Jason from Screamline Studios, and is interested in, let's just say, rewarding people who listen to the show. That's all the information we're going to give at this time, but coming very soon to the Big Scary Show, Screamline Studios will be as we'll say, rewarding people who listen. So keep listening, tell all your friends to listen, and stay tuned as Screamline Studios is proudly sponsoring The Big Scary Show. Stay tuned for details. This concludes this episode of Big Scary Show's Deadline News. If you have a news story, a blurb, any kind of an item you'd like to submit to us, send that information to news@bigscaryshow.com. Thank you for listening to Deadline News.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the Big Scary Show at this point. And now we come to the moment you've all been waiting for, the Round Table of Terror. And tonight we were going to have a special guest, but circumstances had other plans. Mr. Murphy from Murphy's Law had other plans, and our special guest is AWOL for now. We'll have our special guest on at a later time. So we've decided to be a little bit lighthearted. We're actually recording this at the end of a weekend, Sunday evening. We've all had good times. We're all a little burned out from the weekend. So we're going to talk about our favorite haunts over the years of being in this business. The four of us have been to an awful lot of haunted houses, haunted attractions, from home haunts to big national haunts. And we even have Jerry back this week. Somebody apparently has bought him a non-East German phone. Jerry, are you there?
I got the wind-up phone with the hamster on the wheel.
Oh, we love it, man. Well, we're here joined by the haunt rocker Jerry Vane, the unknown scare actor Storm. My name is Drew Badger, and we're talking our favorite haunted houses for the next, 30 minutes or so. Gentlemen, let's throw some out. What are your favorite haunted houses, whether you've seen them at conventions, whether you've traveled to them, whether you've worked at them?
Well, to be honest with you, one of the ones that stuck out for me was the Haunted Hotel in downtown San Diego. And that one is like the pinnacle for the haunts in the San Diego area. And we actually had two haunted houses, and I kid you not, four storefronts apart from each other. So you go and do the Haunted Hotel, and you literally come out of the line from that one and get right into the line for Frightmare on Market Street. And then come out of that one, and it would dump you right into the heart of downtown San Diego for the rest of the evening. But Haunted Hotel and Frightmare, those were the two that stick out for me, definitely.
Did you have to buy, was this one of these where you had to buy a separate ticket for both, or could you buy a package? Did they work together?
You could do either or. You could either, get a package of both individually adult, dependent on what you want to do. But the worst part about it was they stuck you right outside Hooters. So while you're staying in line, which you could be up to 2 hours to get in, all you smelled was, Hooters food coming out the windows. And so by the time you finally got to the line, you were starving.
Well, wait a second. You're outside of Hooters in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
With waitresses in, what's basically typical Hooters gear. Why is that a problem?
Well,
the best scenery
I never said
in the
it
world.
Was a problem.
But you just said the only problem was.
Well, no, that wasn't the problem. Was you were hungry by the time you got through.
We understand.
Lots to look at.
That's a great formula. No, 2 hours later, I have to eat chicken wings. I've been smelling chicken wings. For 2 hours, I need chicken wings.
Tell me that ain't a great marketing ploy there.
I've seen haunts do it. We use it at Trails of Terror. We have a grill off the back, and we're doing the French fries and stuff. And, boy, that draws people in, and it just happens to be near the exits to both haunts. Oh, wow. I've been to another really good haunted attraction I've been to, just in a setup, is Barrett's Haunted Mansion up in Massachusetts. What's neat is the family who owns and operates that, they also do some restaurants. There's actually an ale house right next door. So, of course, you got to go over there for dinner afterwards. But that's one of the haunts I've liked, just from setup. And, for me, I'm impressed by the limitations that a operation will have and what they can pull off. Barrett's is really neat because it's a long queue line. It takes a while to go through it. The house itself is not really a big inside, but they're staffed by volunteer organizations, but they're professional staff who work the queue and do the designs and everything, and they re-theme each year also. I've always been impressed with just how they've been able to get these volunteers to work in a haunted house, and you'd think that it was professional actors, and just what they accomplish in a night or two with these guys is really impressive. So that's one of them that's up there for me for, like, the complete package. What about you guys?
Well, you know, starting out when I was a kid, all of us went to the J.C.'s haunted houses, am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know,
we didn't have J.C.'s. Where I grew up, we had the haunted houses over in, like, the elementary schools and stuff like that.
Okay, well, basically the same thing, and they all work along the same principle, and, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to it. It was a lot of, you know, black walls, white sheets, a little stage blood. So, you know, that was back in the day, and I think we're all, except for Storm, over the age of 40. So people that are our age are going to understand this. I'm going to fast forward now to Universal Studios. I was fortunate enough to go to the very first Halloween Horror Nights at Universal in Orlando.
Nice.
It was called Fright Nights back then.
I remember that.
And it was an event like I had never been to. You're on a whole new, I mean, it's a whole different level when you're at a working movie studio. The sets, the costumes, everything just, it was it's almost sensory overload. I was so enamored of everything that was going on there. Now I'm going to fast forward again 14 years later to Halloween Horror Nights number 14. The production level at Universal Studios went up even higher, and we walked into a soundstage, and there was an entire vampire castle in this soundstage. I mean, down to the moss on the bricks. The detailing was just phenomenal. The actors, everything. These are things that really stood out in my mind from a large-scale standpoint. You know, they've got the big budgets. They've got all the departments where they can afford to do these things. So, yes, it's going to be grandiose. It's going to be over the top. So these are things that stuck out on my mind for now, and I'll mention a couple others a little bit later, but go ahead, somebody else take it from there.
Well, you know, I got my start as a quote-unquote professional actor about 11, 12 years ago at Scarowinds, which was a theme park haunt. You know, Carowinds, big theme park in Charlotte, started up in 2000 with the, you know, Halloween event, and that kind of is where, you know, all the other theme parks around started putting on Halloween events. So, you know, as far as over the top and just throwing money into a haunted attraction, you know, sets were great, the actors were good, you know, you gotta love that. But as far as absolute favorite haunts, you know, while I love the mom and pop haunts with the absolute enthusiasm of the actors, you know, I've been to There's a little tiny town in upstate South Carolina called Pauline, South Carolina, probably got a population of about 200, and they have a place called the West Spring Spook House, which has been there since the early 70s, and it's just a little mill house that's probably about 50, 60 years old, probably about 800 square feet, takes about 5 minutes to walk through this thing, but the absolute enthusiasm of the actors is just top-notch. They have a guided tour, and you know what's going to happen. You walk into the bathroom, and you see a body lying in the tub. You absolutely know that that guy is going to come up and jump out at you, and, you know, just with the story that they tell you, and they change it every year, and just the way that they put on a show just makes it just absolute delight to go through. And, you know, being an actor trainer, I would rather see a haunt like that with six or seven really dedicated actors than to go through a giant mega haunt and have actors that you see off in the corner texting, or you see a guy standing off just behind the scenes with his mask off, smoking a cigarette or talking to somebody, and they just don't look like they're putting their all into it. So, you know, while I love these little small haunts and the way that the enthusiasm of their actors really makes for a fun evening, as far as favorite haunts, I have to go with the big boy. I have to say Netherworld in Atlanta has to be just, you know, if there was a definition of haunted house in the dictionary, as far as, you know, set design, lighting, makeup, quality of your actors, everything like that. What Ben and his partners have done down there is just absolutely nothing short of astounding, given the fact that they tear that whole thing out and put it together every single year.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I didn't see any of the big boy haunts, but the big haunts until I started, you know, hitting the haunts industry in the last couple of years. Down the San Diego ones are usually converted storefronts that had a basement, so they use the entire basement as the haunt, and then bring you back up into the into the main area in the store. So with with their budgets were a lot less than what I'm used with, you know, than some of the other ones. So you may do with such a small space, but the amount of detail they put in was just crazy.
Oh, absolutely. And again, right. I didn't start traveling and seeing a lot of these things until I started going to conventions and doing pre-show tours, because I was always stuck as an actor at Scarewinds. And I'd have friends of mine saying, well, I'm going down to Florida for Halloween Horror Nights, or I'm going to go visit my friends down in New Orleans, go to House of Shock. And I'm like, what are these places? You hear about them just vaguely mentioned, and then all of a sudden you get a chance to go visit one of these things. Just unbelievably how cool that is and how different that is from an actual, like, a theme park haunt or from the little mom and pop and the home haunts that, you know, I grew up on. You know, I think everyone's probably been to a neighborhood, or everyone's had that neighborhood person that sticks out the little trail in their backyard or lets you go through their garage and all that stuff. And you got to love those, too.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
We had a guy that actually went in as far as taking his front yard and digging graves in it and putting people in the graves to pop up out of the ground.
Oh, I had a buddy of mine that dragged a coffin out to his front porch every year, and his dad would dress as a vampire and get into that thing. And they would get phone calls about 2 weeks before Halloween, you know, is Mr. So-and-so going to be in the coffin? Because, you know, he's going to jump out and scare my kids, and I don't know if I want to take them trick-or-treating there. And he'd be like, oh, no, I'm not going to scare anybody. And sure enough, he'd get up there and pop out, and kids would go scattering. And, you know, got to love that. And that's what keeps this industry going, I guess. And I'm hoping that some of those kids actually came back the next year, because he was great. I've seen pictures of him dressed like that. And
they're scarred for life.
Oh, yeah. You hope not, but
what I was going to say is, Badger, you started at Scarewinds and I started at Halloween Haunt at Sister Parks, actually.
Right.
And
Cedar Fair Park.
Yes, Cedar Fair Park.
Yeah, when I started at Scarewinds, it was owned by Paramount and was bought out around 2005, 2006, and became Cedar Fair somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right. And, you know, that's where we cut our teeth as professional actors, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I saw a lot of neat things when I worked there. And we got the ability during the training to go through the other haunts to give the other actors practice. So you got a little bit of the exposure. What's that?
You guys are lucky in that. I was just a starting out actor. I first started out at Spooky World at, the last couple years it was in Foxborough, Massachusetts, next to the stadium. That was at the height of that production of it. And, I'd worked for 2 years there. There are a couple haunted houses. You know, occasionally they'd stay open a little bit later for us to go through, like it's operating, but there's two or three out of the six or seven attractions. The 2 years I was there, I never even went through. I never even stepped foot in because it's just so big. There's so much to do. It's such a late night.
Right.
You guys are very lucky with that, with those large productions, being able to see some of the things like that.
Well, I have to say it also is kind of a negative as well, because in this industry, theme parks are kind of looked upon as, in my opinion, they're looked upon as kind of a separate entity. You go to a convention and you talk with an actor who plays at, you know, Haunt XYZ or, you know, one of the big boys, so to speak, and then you say, well, I work at a theme park, and they kind of give you that kind of funny look, like, you know, you're not a real haunt. You know, you may have, you know, 15 different haunted houses and haunted trails on 100 acres, but you've also got the roller coasters, and you know, you're not the only reason people are going to that. So, you know, to me, it's like the redheaded stepchild of the family. You know, they're great. There's a lot of money in them. Money does not always equal quality. I know one of the, you know, one of the people I knew who worked at Scarewinds, you know, went on to work at other haunts and said that, you know, frankly, he had a better time because it was a little bit more intimate. You were able to do more at a smaller haunt than a big haunt like this, because the big haunts, you know, it's corporate. It's, you know, you have a management structure. You have a lot of managers, you have a lot of supervisors, and if you're owned by a company like a Cedar Fair or a Paramount, you have to abide by the rules of Cedar Fair and the rules of Paramount in regards to, you know, how intense can you get? Can you, you know, you obviously don't touch a guest, which, you know, we don't recommend at any haunt in the country unless you're, you know, Haunted Hoochie or something, or some of the extreme haunts. But at smaller haunts, you could get a little bit more into what you were doing. You could interact a little bit more, you know, and while I'm not trying to talk down about the place that gave me my start in this business, you know, for a lot of theme parks, it's the bottom line, you know, it's how much throughput can you put in? And obviously for all haunted houses, it has to be that. But I think it's a little bit more, shall I say, less intimate with corporate haunts. And I'm just calling it corporate haunts just for the fact that it's owned by another corporation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I agree. even a big haunt like, you know, House of Shock or Erebus, or, you know, the ones out in Kansas City, the Edge of Hell and the Beast and all those, you know, those are giant haunts with, you know, hundreds of actors and things. But I think they have a little bit more free rein to work than the folks who have to work at amusement parks.
And I agree 100%. The best move I ever made was when I went to the Dent Schoolhouse.
Which I have to say, I went to the Dent Schoolhouse in 2008, and as far as a themed haunt, you have at the Dent Schoolhouse the absolute best themed, single themed haunt of any haunt I have ever been to.
Well, I know about it here. Plugs
over.
So.
You know, go back and talk. My gushing over Dent is over for now. Rance, go ahead.
I know Bud will appreciate that. It was an awesome move for me, and you hit the nail on the head. It's more intimate. I mean, everybody's more of a family there. All of the actors try to get along and try to work together. And I'm not saying they don't at the larger ones, because, you know, when I was at my time at Halloween Haunt, there was, you know, there's a group of people that you used to hang around with, and you'd go out afterwards or whatnot. But, you know, I got to say, it got a little too clicky, you know. Kind of reminds me of... I'm sorry?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's going to happen.
Yeah, and it does. But when you've got the smaller haunts like Dent, I mean, we run about 60 actors approximately. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows the hierarchy, and there are still rules. You know, you've still got things that Bud, Chuck, and Josh want done, and you need to do them, you know, as they're laid out. But beyond that, they give us a lot of creative freedom on once they've got the basis down on how we scare. And that's one thing I appreciate, is the fact that we can flex that creative muscle a little bit. Instead of being told, this is what you do, and this is the only way I want you to do it.
And I think there's a reason that a lot of these larger haunts, corporate as I'll say, have a high turnover rate. I mean, there's an awful lot of, you know, big haunts, you know, the Netherworlds and the things where they have probably 75-80% retention some years, just because, you know, they treat their actors a certain way and they do a couple of things that, you know, people like, and, you know, it's just a good place to work. And these little mom and pop haunts, when I was at the Canadian Haunters Convention, there were a lot of home haunters that were coming in and seeing all the products because they're looking at, you know, upping their game a bit. And, you know, I'd talk to them, and they'd be like, well, it's our whole family that's involved, and our whole family's been involved in our haunt for 10 years. And how long have you been together? Well, we've only been together for 10 years, but everybody's always worked together.
Right.
And I think it's that camaraderie that really makes a great haunt, you know, versus a good haunt. You know, you can have all the best props and the best scenery and the best storyline and everything, and if the actors are just kind of going through the motions, that's a detriment. You know, as I was mentioning with the little spook house down in Pauline, South Carolina, those guys right there are so into it and so enthusiastic, I'll have a better time walking through that haunt in 5 to 7 minutes than going through something much larger that may take 20 or 30 or 40 minutes to go through, and the actors are just kind of, they're okay.
Right.
It's more of a, you're relying more on props than you are. And I'm not going to name names for any of those haunts. I've been to three
sure.
or four of them that, for lack of a better word, their actors could use some work. Their set designs were stellar. But, you know, if you get to rely too much on animatronics, that I can't call that a favorite haunt.
Right. And well, I've been to a couple of those as well.
Well, out here in Vegas, we only have, with the exception of the Fright Dome down at Circus Circus, which has a huge budget to do their haunt, the majority of the haunts in Vegas are trailer haunts. You know, we've got, Hotel Fear and the Asylum are a side-by-side trailer haunt, and their storylines actually, you know, both storylines feed off of each other. So you go through Hotel Fear and then into the Asylum, or vice versa. It's a continuous storyline. But these guys, you know, they pull into a dirt lot, put all these trailers up, and I went through. And I'm the late bloomer, so to speak, if you want to call it, for the, you know, between the four of us, because you guys have been in it a lot longer than I have. And to see the amount of detail that these guys did, and, you know, not just these two, but also Gates of Hell and Castle Vampire, and there's a clown haunt that's for the Freakling brothers, and I'm drawing a blank on the last one. But these guys, you know, they're not the big boys, but they make do with what they can. And I know in the case, I can't speak for the Freakling brothers, but I know in the case of the company that does Gates of Hell, Hotel Fear and the Asylum, he builds all his own props. All the animatronics and everything that in there are handmade by him. I think he said he's got one prop from a major company, and I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but all of his props and everything he did himself. And the trailers are sitting in the lot, and all he does is, as soon as he puts them back in their storage lot, he's working on them, you know, each trailer individually. And that kind of dedication right there alone, because they're a small haunt. They don't, I want to say, I think they had like maybe 40 actors and a staff of maybe 5 on top of that. And they really went to town. So
I got to ask you, being haunts in Vegas, do they have that Vegas flair that basically everything else in Vegas has?
No.
Or would you be able to drop that haunt in the middle of, you know, Iowa and have it stand alone?
To be honest with you, I honestly think that any of those trailer haunts anywhere would work great, because they're not in the same location each, with the exception of the Freakin' Brothers, which are actually outside a movie theater in the same spot the last few years. The other two haunts, Hotel Fear and Asylum, those two are in a different location every year.
Okay. So they're not like on the Strip or anything like that?
No. When you've got the Fright Dome out there on the Strip, you really can't compete with that. And so these guys are out in the outskirts area, because Vegas is a small town. So the Freakling Brothers, they go out more like northwest side of town. And then the other two are up by where I live, up on the north side of Vegas, about 15 minutes north of the Strip. And they switched locations. Last year they were in a Big Lots parking lot on a dirt area, you know, that wasn't being used for anything. And then the year before, they were in the parking lot of the Cannery Casino. So they switch around each year. There was another trailer haunt that it was their first year. I don't know what happened to them. I talked to them when they were setting up, and they literally opened 1 week and were gone. And from what I found out, a lot of the actors just never showed up. And I felt really bad for them because I took a walkthrough, you know, while they were setting up, and it looked really cool. It was like a cell block type theme. And it was really, I mean, for a first time haunt, I really liked it. But they just disappeared.
That's
five minute warning, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Guys, what is it that impacts you the most about these haunts? You know, these ones that come through as your favorites. What is it for each of us that's the impact? That's the thing that puts this haunt aside from the other ones we've been to? I'll let you guys go first.
Well, to me, being an actor and all, I have to say it's the acting and the story behind the acting. I went to Legendary Haunt Tours a couple of years ago, their first year, and they were in Kansas City, and we went through the haunts, the four big haunts in the South Bottoms there, the Edge of Hell, the Beast, the Chamber of Edgar Allan Poe, and the Theater of the Macabre. And Edge of Hell just has a story that, if you're not familiar with it, go look it up. I don't want to give any spoilers here, but it almost takes you an hour to go through that. And it is absolutely amazing you go through this and you go through that and everything is tying together. And then at the very end, you're climbing up room after room after floor of these six-story warehouses and stuff in the meatpacking district. They've been around since the mid-1800s. And then you get to the big reveal at the very end and you have to go down a six-story slide. And it's just an amazing story. The actors are on top of everything. You know, not that the props aren't great, not that the whole atmosphere is great. I think it's at the Edge of Hell where they've got the one of the world's largest boa constrictors or anacondas in captivity. It's like 30-some feet long.
That's the one.
And then I know the Beast has their werewolf forest is an acre in size. It takes up
that's
an entire
floor.
That's
the one where people get lost in it, right?
Oh,
like
I got lost in their maze. Their maze itself, pitch black. The only light are the lights of the security cameras where I'm sure everyone's laughing at everybody who's lost in there. But the acting and all that just absolutely made that whole night. Because you could take a hayride and you could buy a ticket to all four, and as you exit one, you can get on this hayride, and it'll take you two or three blocks down the street to the next haunt. And you could go through all four of them on one ticket and just take a hayride, just make a whole evening of it. But amazing stories and everything.
I gotta say for me, it's when somebody does something unique. You know, being in the haunt industry, going to conventions, you see the same masks making rotation, you see the same props. I get really excited when I walk in a haunt and I see something which should be marketed and made, and something they made in-house, and even more so if there's a popular prop or a popular mask or something, and they've done just something completely new and imaginative. That's what grabs me. When I see that kind of stuff, you know, being in a haunted attraction industry, I see those types of things. That makes an impact on me for going through a haunt.
Jim?
Well, I've got to say, you know, and I kind of lean towards the acting as well, for obvious reasons. But there's got to be that right combination of set design and acting to give you the full effect. And I'm looking for probably, I'd say 65%, 70% acting, 30% set design to keep you off balance. Because when you've got that little bit of eye candy, you get distracted, and it gives the actors a better opportunity to get you. And it's such a rare thing for us being haunters to be scared by somebody that when it does happen, I more than appreciate it.
For me being the new guy, everything that I've seen so far is, you know, it's all new to me. And being around you three, and especially Storm and Badger the last couple of years, at Midwest Hunters Convention, it's the first. I don't want to call them big boy. The big boy hunt. But when we went on the bus trip and went over to the Scaratorium, and I walked in and saw this giant castle inside this shopping mall, this empty Big Bear Market. My jaw hit. I mean, Storm, you were right there, and you were laughing. My jaw hit the ground. So it everything for me is new. But I talking to going through the Scaratorium in Hanahuchi with Storm, I got to see what is good acting, what's bad acting, what's mediocre, what's not. And it's opening my eyes. Of any of the haunts I've seen so far, I've got to say Twisted Darkness was the one that caught my attention the most, because the detail and the actors and just everything about it just blew my mind.
Package? Yeah. That's
the complete
your imagination.
Package.
That's the one in Kokomo, Indiana?
That was one in Kokomo, yeah. That one definitely caught my attention. But at the same token, there were little things at the other ones, like at Scare Fair or Scaretorium or Hanahuchi, even the home hunt we went to, there were little things that caught my attention, and it was either the detail or the acting or, in some cases, the ambient, what you weren't seeing but what you were hearing. So having that whole sense, it's a whole sensory package, and some did it better than others. But, it definitely opened my eyes to something that I'm not used to seeing. And I'm looking forward to more. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing some what else is out there.
Well, I know that HauntCon's going to 100 Acre Manor and a few others in Pittsburgh, and I know that Midwest is going up to Detroit, and Erebus is probably the feather in the cap up at that one. That's one that's on my bucket list. So,
definitely.
Looking forward to see that. But I think by the clock on the wall, we're going to have to start winding this down. So one last time, your favorite haunts. We'll start with Storm.
It's a tough, but it's a complete package factor. I'd say one that we haven't talked about for me has been Fright Kingdom. Walk through a door, complete package. You can see the passion that's into it from the actors, from what they've built, from just the moment you walk through the door. So for me, that's one of the ones that's up there. We've talked about some of the other ones, which I really enjoy, but for me, it's a complete package. It's going to make that impact.
Jim.
Who's Jim?
You.
It's your favorite. Unknown scare actor.
Sorry. I'm an unknown scare actor. Damn it.
I'm kind of biased, obviously, but I absolutely love the Denton Schoolhouse. But if it's a haunt that I've not worked at, that I've been to or seen, I saw a video earlier this year from a Canadian home haunt called the Dunbar Haunted House. I'll make sure you guys get a copy of this. Absolutely incredible for a home haunt. I mean, professional level all the way. That's what.
Okay.
Your favorite.
I've got all around. It's kind of a tie, actually. The Scaratorium and Twisted Darkness. Scaratorium was the first one that I saw out in the heartland, where the hotbed, where all the haunts are. That one caught my attention. But Twisted Darkness definitely blew my mind.
And I will wrap it up by saying I still have to go with Netherworld for complete package, amazing actors, amazing set designs, location within a stone's throw of the interstate as far as getting to the place, ample parking, even things like the souvenir stand and the things around it, just unbelievable work, things I have never seen at another haunt. Including a machine out in the parking lot that blows smoke rings just to entertain people. Yeah. And the parking lot queue line guys are amazing. The internal guys, they've got one of the only two rock monsters in existence that I'm aware of. And I got to go with Ben Armstrong and Netherworld. Absolutely top notch, and love those guys. And we'll go see them again this season.
Excellent. So the gauntlet's down. Everybody has to pick up their game and be better than the haunts we've mentioned today and have us come out. And also, you know, everybody's enjoying the roundtable, but Badger, where can people give us suggestions for topics or if they want to be a guest on our roundtable of terror?
Why, I'm glad you asked. If you would like to have to suggest something that you'd like to hear on the Roundtable of Terror, or if you would like to be a guest and bring your unique perspective on topics of the day or a specific topic, you can email suggestions to roundtable@bigscaryshow.com. It's just that simple.
The other thing, too, we'd like is post on the wall of our Facebook page what's your favorite haunt? What one that you guys really enjoyed that just caught your mind and, you know, had all the ducks in a row. Everything was perfect about it. Let us know what your feedback is and tell us what haunts you really enjoyed.
Unknown Scare Actor, any last words?
Just make sure that if you have any questions or comments, either email us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com or you can email us individually. I'm USA@bigscaryshow.com. Guys, take it from there.
I'm Vane@bigscaryshow.com.
Among other things.
And storm@bigscaryshow.com. So be scary, people.
And again, obviously enough, Badger@bigscarystorm. Once again, folks, thank you for listening. Yeah, did I say that wrong? I guess I did.
That was great.
What can you do, man? It's late. We've had a long weekend. Anyway,
folks, this concludes
the next Roundtable of Terror. Stand by for the next one coming up where we will talk about a very important topic in the haunt and horror industry. Keep that positive feedback, even the negative feedback. We do listen and read every single email and note that we get on our Facebook page. Once again, this is Badger, the Unknown Scare Actor, Storm, and the Haunt Rocker for the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror. Support your local haunts, everyone, and we are out.
Virgil Franklin, Lair of the Unknown, on the Big Scary Show.
Thank you.
all you listeners out there to the Big Scary Show. Drew Badger here live in my kitchen of all places, talking to a man who just happens to be lying on the beach in Florida. Son of a gun. No stranger to the haunt industry, big name all around. We are in the middle of convention season, and one of those conventions near and dear to my heart is HauntCon. I'm speaking to the organizer of HauntCon, Mr. Leonard Pickle. How is the beach today?
It looks good out the window. I'm actually working inside, but it is nice to be able. It's a nice view, at least.
Anytime you're at the beach, it's a nice day. You're down in Florida, I hear.
Yeah, down on Brightonton Beach. It's just visiting some friends and trying to get some work done on finishing up the education for HauntCon. It's looking very strong. We're excited about it.
Well, excellent. Well, conveniently enough, I have some questions about HauntCon. For the benefit of those who do not know what HauntCon is, can you please give us a quick primer? What is HauntCon?
HauntCon is an acronym for the Haunted Attraction National Trade Show and Convention, and it's a conference for people that are in the haunted house industry, people who are thinking about getting in the haunted house industry, people that like to build Halloween props, decorate their house, or just like to go to haunted houses. It moves to a new city every year, and the reason we do that is so that we can tour local haunted houses in the market. And this year is going to be a record. Between the pre-show tour, the two-day out and back that we do before the event, and the three haunts that we'll tour on the weekend, we're going to be able to see over 25 haunted houses in a five-day period. So we're pretty excited about that. But it also has education, trade show, and a costume ball that's just not to be missed.
Well, I understand HauntCon this year is in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, otherwise known to the rest of the world as Pittsburgh. How did the history of HauntCon come about? How did you decide to start in one city and just kind of move around the country, as opposed to the other conventions out there that pretty much have built up a local and national and regional following by staying where they were?
Well, my goal has always been to try to grow the industry, and if we can go from city to city and talk new people into liking us and enjoying the event, then the concept was to drag them to the next city and continue to grow as we go throughout the country. And we've had a pretty good following with that. People tend to, they don't go every year, but we see people faces time after time, and so we know that what we're doing is working. It's just going to take a little while for us to get huge, but we're enjoying moving from city to city and seeing different haunted houses that haunters just can't get out and take a look at when they're doing their own events in October. So we try to find a market like Pittsburgh that has lots of haunted houses that we can go take a look at, and it's just a great opportunity to see haunted houses off season, on a slower pace, get a lights on tour of some of them so that you can kind of see what they're doing and how they're doing it, and it's all about coming up with great ideas to take back to your own haunt and use them there.
Well, I have to admit, this will be my fourth HauntCon in a row. Started in Milwaukee, followed you down to Orlando, and then went to Louisville last year. Have had an excellent time at every one. Spoke at my first HauntCon last year, and am speaking at this one. Thank you. What was the advantage of going to Pittsburgh? Was it the fact that there is so many haunted houses there? Did they just flat out give you a better offer? Why Pittsburgh, of all places?
One of the hardest things that we do is find a new city every year, and it's most of the haunted houses that are in the same place every year can tell you that their dates from for the next 4 or 5 years have got that all locked in. I have no idea where I'm even going to be next year at this point, much less any year after that. So I can't tell you dates, I can't tell you cities, I can't tell you anything, because we don't really, even though we're looking year round at different locations and talking to haunted houses that might be willing to open up for us, we never really make a decision until right at HauntCon or right after it. So it's part of the hardest thing that we do. And we've been trying to go to Pennsylvania for several years. In fact, really, even since we first started the convention, we've been trying to go to Pennsylvania. And, of course, National is in Philadelphia, so we were trying to stay away from that end of the state. But there are so many haunted houses in Pittsburgh, it was inevitable that we were going to be there eventually. And we got the right hotel with the right price at the right time, and so we just pulled the trigger on it, and it's going to be a great show.
It sounds like it. What are some of the features and events that we can expect for anybody that decides to come to HauntCon? You mentioned classes. Well, you mentioned the pre-show tour or the show tour.
Tell us what's going to happen. Somebody arrives and gets their mind blown by all the cool stuff.
Well, the pre-show tour is the Wednesday, Thursday before the show, so that's the second and the third, and it's an out and back. We're going to hit 20 different haunted houses, both in Pennsylvania and northeastern Ohio. The spotlight of that tour is going to be the Factory of Terror, which for the first time ever, we're going to be able to do a lights off tour the night, the Wednesday night, and do a lights on Thursday morning. So you're going to get both a lights off show with full actors, and then a backstage tour lights on to be able to go through and take pictures or whatever you want throughout the show on the next morning.
That's Camden, Ohio. Is that in Camden, Ohio?
Camden.
Okay.
Canton, Ohio. Yep, absolutely. And then we get back, seeing some more haunted houses just in time to dump off the hotel, check in, and get back on a bus to go to the Thursday night kickoff tour, which is going to be Fright Farm there locally in Pittsburgh. And it's a great show. They're normally they have a hayride and a corn maze and then a massive haunted house. And we're just doing the haunted house for this show because the corn is obviously not grown. But it's an incredible show. It's built up. You know, they just started adding on to this farmhouse, and it's now a three-story, just massive structure that's been built, you know, just a little piece at a time until they got it to where they are. And they're great people out there. They're really looking forward to having us coming out and giving us a little backstage taste of their really proud of their new makeup area. So we're going to be able to tour that as well and do a little social event there. And then Friday morning starts the education and the trade show. So it's trade show and education all day long. And there's over 40 hours of education throughout the weekend, and it's all included in the price of the convention. So it's really the cheapest way to learn the details and learn what's new and cutting edge in the industry by going to the show. On Friday night, we have a tour of 100 Acres Manor, which is another local haunt there in Pittsburgh area. And they have four haunts, one of which is a Pitch Black, so I don't think we're going to tour that. But the three other haunted houses are just huge. So that's another just massive show that we're going to see. So there's three haunts right there. Saturday all day is a trade show again in education. And then Saturday night is kind of our signature social event. It's the costume ball. We have a massive costume ball that we do on Saturday night. And if there's one thing about HauntCon, we know how to throw a party. So we're looking forward to having a whole bunch of people come out and dress up for Halloween, or dress up like it was Halloween, even though it's not. So many of us work at Halloween instead of and don't have an opportunity to have a good time. But this is a great opportunity to dress up and enjoy what enjoy getting in character and scaring people and showing off what they can do to each other without having to work.
Any prizes for best costume or anything like that?
You know, there's so much competition, and this industry is so full of artists that get their feelings hurt so easily. We don't do any competitions at HauntCon. You know, everybody's a winner at HauntCon, and we're there more to socialize and network and have a good time. You know, no matter when you do a costume contest, no matter who wins, somebody's got their feelings hurt, and there's just no reason for that.
Absolutely,
it's just a time to come out and have a great time.
I will say one of the highlights of my life happened 2 years ago in Orlando, where one Mr. Leonard Pickle, dressed as a probably 7-foot-tall Herman Munster, was standing outside the costume ball learning to use the bullwhip. That has got to go down as one of the highlights of my HauntCon career and Halloween career. Watching you crack that whip to the delight of everybody while dressed as Herman Munster, fantastic. Have you continued your bullwhip career by any chance?
No, not to. I'm not. I'm a little old to change my career now, but it's a good time. I mean, everybody has a great time, and I'm always willing to join in the fun. So it's a good time.
Absolutely.
And then to finish up HauntCon, Sunday is a again trade show and seminars all day long. And then we also have a hearse rally. We invite everyone, all the haunted houses in the area, to bring their hearse out and park in the parking lot, and you know, talk renovating and tricking out their last rides, and then the attendees, of course, get a chance to come out and take a look at them. And then the last thing we do at the end of the convention on Sunday is a haunted garage sale. So for $20 or something, you can grab a table and come and attendees can bring stuff to sell. It's just like a giant swap meet. Some of the vendors bring extra stuff for them to sell at the garage sale, and so just a good way to pick up some stuff that you're looking for, or some cool haunted house stuff, or get rid of some haunted house stuff that you've been carrying around or storing for a while that you don't think you're going to be able to use. And, you know, and even at that point, Hong Kong's not through. Sunday night, we have another tour of Haunted Hills Estates, which is another local tour there. There's going to tour two haunted houses at that event. And then the trade show is over, but the education continues. On Monday, we have several sessions that are full-day, more advanced, hands-on workshops that we're doing to all day Monday as well. So it's a full 7 days of education, trade show, tours, more tours than you can imagine, all crammed into one little weekend. But really the only complaint we ever get is that we don't schedule in 2 hours in the afternoon for a nap so everyone can go and get a siesta before the nighttime activity.
I can absolutely identify with that. Who do you have on the Monday seminars this year? You've had some great people in the past.
Right now we have Wolf Brothers is going to do their horror makeup seminar. It's an all-day hands-on. You learn how to paint like the Wolf Brothers do. Wolf Brothers are world-class body painters, and they're able to, using light and shadow, do a lot of painting on a face that, you know, using the face as a canvas and make it look like you've got three-dimensional appliances on when it's really just paint. It's a great technique, and if I'm also doing a seminar that day, or I'd be in their class, teaching that class, or learning that class, I've always wanted to take their class. My class is basic inside out how to design a haunted house. So we're going to sit down for 6 or 8 hours, and I'm going to teach you how I design haunted houses for the companies that I design haunted houses for across the country, and my basic philosophy on how to do it and why I do what I do, and get everybody up to speed and see if we can't help them get their own haunted houses designed during that time period, and so that when they leave there, they're ready to start rocking and rolling.
Now, I understand there's an extra charge for the Monday classes, but there is no
extra... There is.
Okay.
Yeah, the Monday classes are an add-on or an upcharge for the full-day classes, but the rest of the education is included in the price of the show.
So for one low price, you can go to all-day seminars on Saturday and Sunday?
Friday.
Oh, my goodness. Everything included
Friday,
in one price.
Friday.
Go ahead.
There's an upcharge for the Monday classes, and then the only other charge that we have is for some of the hands-on workshops have materials charges. So because in the class, the instructor is going to teach you how to build something, and when you're done building it, you take it home with you. So there's materials charge in that, but other than that, all the education is included.
Is there a charge to get a table for the garage sale?
There is, and I can't remember what that is. You'll have to go to HongKong.com and check that out. But it's not much. It's pretty cheap.
And how about for the tours on Friday and Sunday? Are those also included in the price?
No, those are add-ons as well.
Okay.
So if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. But they're really reasonably priced this year. I think they're in the $35 range for at the door, and cheaper if you go early. So that's pretty inexpensive for multiple haunt. We're really reasonable this year, so it's looking good.
And you can't beat I have had the pleasure of working at Hundred Acre Manor on more than one occasion, and in my opinion, that's one of the top 10 haunts in the country. And to be able to have them open their doors for that is just fantastic. And for that kind of a price, plus Fear Farm, plus all the others, sounds like this is going to be the best haunt con you've ever had.
It certainly is the most haunts involved, that's true. So we're really looking forward to it. And those haunted house guys are really the best people on earth. I mean, they're really literally losing money on the deal when they're opening up for this kind of an event, because they have to, you know, spend money in insurance and do all kinds of other things just for the 1,000 people or so that we bring them for HauntCon. So it's really not a money maker for them. They do it out of the goodness of their hearts, and because they want to share and show off their product to the industry, and we really appreciate them for doing that. We couldn't do the show without them.
Absolutely, and be sure and thank people like Ted Sobeck or Brandon Kelm if you go to 100 Acre Manors, and the owners of all the other places who I assume will be out there at their respective haunts. Please thank them, and please tell them how much you appreciate that for for opening up, you know, basically off season. You know, it takes a lot just to get the power turned on and everything and get actors in there. Is there an opportunity for people who may want to, who are actors at other haunted houses, to possibly come and act at one of these houses during the tour if they can't get a full staff?
Sure, absolutely. There, I think all of the haunts are taking people that are interested in helping out. I know that Factory of Terror put out some Facebook stuff that they were looking for you know, additional people to make sure that they're fully staffed for the pre-show tour. So, yeah, just contact the haunted houses directly, and or go on their Facebook pages probably and hook up with them there. I'm sure they'd love to have some people come out and beef up their staff a little bit.
And that always looks good on your resume if you've worked for a small mom and pop for the last few years to go and say, I've worked at a Factory of Terror or a Fear Farm or someplace like that. And those are quality haunts. I've been to Factory of Terror, I've been to 100 Acre Manor, and they're fantastic. And, you know, if you get the opportunity to go to HauntCon, make sure you go on that pre-show tour. Make sure you go on that Friday night tour. Make sure you go on the Sunday night tour. These tours are, you know, top of the line. One quick question. For the hearse rally and the hearse show, can anybody who owns a hearse, if they can make it to Pittsburgh, can they just come and enter their hearse?
Absolutely, yeah. No, we invite, in fact, we try to pull the hearse clubs from as far away as possible to come out and join us. You know, it's there's a $10 fee, but everybody gets a little plaque, and everybody has a great time, you know, sharing stories and sharing tips on how they restored their or tricked out their last ride. So it's a great opportunity, nice socializing, and you get to that $10 fee gets you into the show for that day. So it's a $35 value for just $10.
So you can't beat that with any kind of a stick. So now we get to the part that we like to call the plugs. For anybody that needs information on HauntCon, that needs lodging information, directions, ticket info, want to sign up for a seminar, pre-show tour, what's the best way to do it? What's the best way to see pictures from previous HauntCons? How can we find everything we need to know about HauntCon 2012?
Well, HauntCon.com is a good place to start, but we also have a lot of photographs and stuff on our Facebook page, which is which would be Facebook.com/HauntCon.
It's just that simple. Just that simple. Just look for HauntCon, Google it if you don't have direct, and you will find it, and you will find it worth your time, worth your effort to get on a plane, get in a car, get on a train, however you can. I'm assuming that there is a extraordinarily large population of haunt fans up in the Northeast, and I expect you to have the largest crowds ever and a fantastic time at HauntCon. Any last words for the audience out there?
No, I just hope that I see everyone out there and have a great October season, and we look forward to seeing you in Pittsburgh.
Any secrets revealed as to what you and your wife are wearing at the costume ball this year?
You know, we normally don't even worry about that until the last minute. There have been years that we haven't put anything at all on, so it's, at least a costume. But
I was going to say, that's probably the scariest thing of all.
Haven't even made that choice yet. It's, you know, at HauntCon, we're not there to party. We're there to make sure that everybody else is having a good time. And so there have been years that we've done really simple stuff and years that we haven't even been able to get into costume at all. So it just depends. It's nice having the Wolf Brothers handy for a quick Freddy or a quick zombie or something. It's having them around and being friends with them is a great opportunity. That's why I wish I could take their class so I could get that technique down, because they were amazing. They did a full Freddy of me. You'll see it on the website if you go. They did a full Freddy of me last year in 10 minutes at most, at best, and it's incredible. Right down to a glove they painted on my hand, because I didn't have a glove. All I had was a sweater and a hat, and they turned me into Freddy in 10 minutes. It was amazing. They really are good.
That was a pretty impressive job. I didn't know it took 10 minutes. I was lucky enough to take their class in Milwaukee, I believe, 3 years ago, and it's absolutely worth it. If anybody wants to get some really good makeup tips, Wolf Brothers, top of the line, and class guys as well. Leonard, it has been an absolute pleasure to speak to you again. I wish you, again, success with HauntCon 2012 in Monroeville, a.k.a. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this year. HauntCon.com for everything HauntCon related. We'll look forward to seeing you in a few weeks. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Let's do this again.
We will do it as long as the Big Scary Show is on the air. Thank you again, Leonard. Once again, Drew Badger, from my kitchen to Leonard Pickle, looking out at the beach, and I am out.
Hey, this is Jerry Vane, and I'd like to welcome you to the first installment of Decomposing. What I want to do with this segment is basically do a breakdown of some of the music that I've released, both custom for Haunts and also for my CDs Damnation's Embrace, Soul Collector, and The Attic, and give you kind of an idea of where I came up with the ideas for each track and the influences behind them. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you might find this entertaining. And it should be a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to starting this. The first track we're going to start out with is the song The Wolfsbane for the Wells Township Haunted Attraction in Bryan, Ohio. So let's get started, all right? For Wells Township, they needed a track for their werewolf attack scene. And so the idea I wanted to do with this was kind of give a dark impression of the werewolf itself from the visions I got of it from the photos and the video, with some detuned bass through it, and a lot of heavy guitar, heavy drum riffs, some kind of heavy drumming to kind of give that tribal feel. And this whole section here was basically just trying to build up the anticipation of walking into the scene as you're getting into the area, and take it through. You're kind of going through the forest area, heading towards where the wolf is going to be at, and to the initial encounter. Which, with this section here, I use a lot of dissonant chording and offbeat drumming to show to give the impression of the werewolf attacking, as you can hear with the growls in the background and the howls, and kind of give it that kind of sneak attack, popping out, coming back, and, you know, the random attack patterns that the actor was giving. With this section here, I wanted to give a kind of a chase scene feel, and emphasize it with a lot of the growling from the werewolf, which I put through a pitch shifter and brought it down and made it darker and heavier, because the original track was a very high-pitched dog growl, and so by lowering the pitch and adding a little bit of distortion to it, you gave it a deeper, heavier feel to it for this chase sequence. And then I did a reprise of the previous section, but added some drums to it to where, you know, you're getting past the attack scene, you've gotten away, and you're constantly looking over your shoulder to see if he's behind you. And then leading to the what I call the getaway sequence of the track, where I slowed the drums down, and I took a lot of the different sections and threw them into one track, into this track, with the howling and a lot of whammy bar guitar stuff to kind of add a little psychosis to it of what you're going through as you went through this, and kind of give the dread sequence, you know, like, okay, we did it, we got away, and give that impression that you've escaped the werewolf intact. So that's going to be it for covering The Wolfsbane for the Wells Township Haunted Attraction in Bryan, Ohio. Check them out. Awesome haunt. Great actors, great detail. And that's going to be it also for the first episode of Decomposing. Drop me an email at Vane, V-A-Y-N-E, at BigScaryShow.com. Let me know what you think of the track and any suggestions for other songs you might want me to cover from my CDs or from the custom music player that I've done on my website, JerryVane.com. In some of the future episodes, I will be bringing in Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ethermuth, to give his breakdown of some of his awesome material and give you an insight into how he came up with his tracks. Also, keep an eye on a lookout also for potential
roundtable discussion between myself, Virgil, and the members of Midnight Syndicate, Ed Douglas and Gavin Goska. So that's going to be it for this episode. If you want to contact me about doing custom music for your haunted attraction, drop me an email at vane@jerryvane.com and take a listen to the custom music on my player. Anyway, that'll be it. Until next time.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out the Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble. Committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Solitude Black. Solitude Black. I Vampire. I Vampire. On the Big Scary Show. On the Big Scary Show.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Well, this time on Face Your Fears, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. You know, we've talked about phobias. We've talked about the psychology of the scare. But that's all from a human element. What about set design? What about props? What about animatronics? What drives these people to build these things to scare you? What goes on inside their head? What kind of psyche are they working with when they're thinking about scaring you? Because there's got to be some kind of psychology to it, otherwise they wouldn't build these types of props. So what I'm doing now, Haunters, is I'm putting out a call to any vendor out there who wants to talk about their props, their product, their set designs, any vendor out there that wants to talk about fear and where they get their ideas from. I'm putting it out there for you. If you're ready to talk, email me at usa@bigscaryshow.com or haunter.incognito@gmail.com. I do read every email, and I'm really looking forward to hear from some vendors so we can talk about my favorite subject, fear. Well, Haunters, I'm still in the Unknown Scare Actor truck right now, and I'm looking for a place to hide this body of the person I just scared to death. So always remember one thing. Everyone is afraid of something.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Dick Terhune, voicefromhell.com, the Haunt Godfather Leonard Pickle at hauntcon.com, Jimmy Talkington and Thornweb Designs, thornwebdesigns.com, Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, at hauntaudio.com, Von Caron Productions, Von Caron, VonCharon.com, Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com, and Mommy D for contributing to this episode of the show. We'd also like to thank the four ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane, pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at JerryVane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Or on Twitter at @bigscaryshow. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show.
And now let's see what the scaries have to say on our Twitter machine. At Big Scary Show, hey listeners. We are already working on the next episode, with more music, more interviews, more rants and more. Do you want your message to the show read in the next episode? Make a Big Scary tweet to us at Big Scary Show. You can also include #BeScary.
Hey guys, it's me. Hey, I'm Rocker. Hey guys, It's not my day. Remember me? I'm going to Hong Kong. You know, I had some pissed up this year. Yeah, Monroeville, I'll be there. Guys? Guys?